thousands of lives impacted all over the world. Are you ready to upgrade yours? Transform your body and mind. Welcome to the Rise Fitness Podcast with your host, Olivier Killey.
Hello and welcome to the Rise Fitness Podcast. I'm really excited to have you here for season two of the rebranding of the podcast. And if this is the first time you're coming across myself through a video, through a podcast, through an Instagram live, well, my name is Oli and my goal is to help as many people achieve great success with their life, with the body, with the mind. And I do this through fitness, I do this through a podcast, I do this through several things. And today I'm really excited because we are on location and I'm sharing the stage with my fellow trainer, colleague, I would say, Zoe. And I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm really excited for this episode. If you find any sort of value in what will be shared today, I will really, really appreciate the fact that you will subscribe to the channel, be it YouTube, Instagram, or even on iTunes. If you find anything valuable as well, feel free to share it with a friend, somebody who you believe could get value from this. Without further ado,
let's kick off.
Let's get it started. So we have a guest today, Zoe. Zoe, because I pronounce that in French, actually.
No, that's right, Zoe.
Zoe. Okay, all right. Zoe Woodward. Yes, excellent. As I say, we work together, so I will let you introduce yourself.
This can be really long, though. Okay.
Go for it.
So, really sure, I'm Zoe Woodward. I'm a yoga teacher, F45 trainer. I'm an avid CrossFit enthusiast. Is that the word, maybe? I'm a mom of four. I'm a wife. That's about it in a nutshell. Otherwise, we'll
never. Good. The reason I wanted to have you on the podcast today was, first of all, to address the female audience a little bit. Mm-hmm. And given your background, your sporting background, your fitness background, I believe that you could share some very valuable tips.
Yeah.
Great to start with the mom stuff.
Okay.
The mother of four.
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to know is, how do you juggle that with CrossFit, with yoga, with fitness, and then being a mom of four? How do you manage all of that?
I get this question so much. And my honest answer is, I just do. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't help people that are maybe struggling or maybe, you know, can't juggle things. My oldest now is 14, so I've kind of had 14 years worth of practice. So I was working a massive corporate job when I first had kids, so I wasn't really in the fitness industry, more kind of as a gym goer. And I used to fit in fitness around the kids, around work, so when kids were napping or sleeping. But I've always got them involved right from a young age, just because I want to promote that kind of healthy and fitness lifestyle to my children as well. So they've always been in and around gyms. I've used them as weights. I've used them as kind of like, not dumbbells. I've done that. And we've always kind of done things together, so be it a 10-minute workout in the garden or, you know, running up and down the stairs together. So I've just kind of always fit them in around everything. And now, obviously, working in the industry and not being in that corporate lifestyle, the kids come to the gym with me still.
Yeah.
If I'm struggling to fit a workout in, because I don't just work out, I don't just do fitness.
Yeah.
Family are a huge part of my life, so I do take rest days where I completely switch off from that, and I think that's really, really important. People beat themselves up, especially mums, about not being able to do, you know, an hour's a day, not being able to go into the gym for, you know, a whole week, and that's absolutely fine. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. It doesn't have to be all at once. You don't have to get up and do a 60-minute workout.
Yeah.
You can do six 10-minute workouts throughout the day.
Yes.
It's exactly the same amount of time.
That's true, actually. So, I mean, one of the biggest challenge, especially from my clients and from my experience as well, is clearly time management, which is way harder on the mom side, because, again, mm-hmm. our society mm-hmm. is kind of putting a lot of responsibility on mother's shoulders. Mm. You know, you got to get kids ready, get them to school or yep. nursery and all yep. these kind of things. And one of the biggest things, or say excuse, mm-hmm. I hear the most is, there is no place for fitness in my life. Mm-hmm. Like there is none. I go to work, you work a corporate job before, I do it 9 to 5. I come back home, the kids are there, I'm shattered, I've got to be with them. There is no time for me to go to a commercial gym.
Yep, yep.
Where I will have to wait for a machine for probably 20 minutes or even just go and walk on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel that. Mm-hmm. So what's the goal? What's the purpose behind all these actions you're taking where you're trying to balance everything? What's the ultimate purpose? Why are you doing that?
It's kind of just to prove that you can. So you work a corporate 9 to 5, you sit in an office from that time, you get a lunch break. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be that 30 minutes or be that an hour. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's always that. I get that people have to eat, but there is always time. Go for a 15-minute walk, sit down and eat your lunch. That's 15 minutes. You're not only getting exercise, you're also getting fresh air. You're getting that mental break. You're getting that kind of like reset. Or I'm a big advocate for getting up early and getting it done.
Yes.
So I will set my alarm yeah. even 10 minutes before the kids wake up.
Yeah.
Go and boil the kettle, go and get the lunches ready, get the school bags ready. While you're doing that, you're moving, you're doing exercise.
Yeah.
I don't do a massive hardcore workout first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning is kind of like, don't pick your phone up. That's the first thing. That's 10 minutes saved.
Which is really hard, yeah. by the way.
Don't
most
pick
people.
Your phone up. I never, ever, ever look at my phone first thing in the morning.
How do you do that? I need to know. Sorry to interrupt, but I need to know how
I
do
just
you do that.
Don't. Before I've had a drink, some movement, be that even, you know, 5 minutes of breathing, take 10 deep breaths, go and get yourself a drink, go and brush your teeth, you know, something like that, then look at your phone. Try and add on a little bit more each day where you're phone free. Otherwise, you find that you just get sucked in and you're
yes.
reactive. The second you open your yeah. eyes, you look at your phone, you're reactive to something. You can't, any good intentions that you had for the day go out the window. You see that
yeah.
email, you see that message, you see that
yeah.
notification.
Yeah.
It's still going to be there in 30 minutes. It's still going to be there in an hour.
It's true. I have personally been through that. Like at some point, I had to put my phone in another room to make sure I don't look at it the mm-hmm. first thing. Mm-hmm. Bah, I was like, yo, you need an alarm after that.
Yeah.
But it was, it goes not just to become reactive, as you said, mm-hmm. because I open my phone, it's emails, it's texts, it's things to look at and reply to, which is really taking a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good segue into mindset, because mm-hmm. as you said, you want to obviously avoid being reactive the mm-hmm. first thing in the morning. So what would you say is your kind of morning routine?
Mm-hmm.
I know like sounds very corny, very cliche these days, but I believe that your day is won in the morning.
Yep.
So what sort of morning routine you kind of going through?
Okay, so I get up. I'm really early riser naturally, and that's just me.
What time?
Well, 4. I'm probably awake. No, not that early. I'm awake by like maybe 5:36.
Okay, that's really good.
But my body seems to be in tuned with the light and dark. But
mm-hmm.
so sometimes mm-hmm. it is 4 a.m. at the moment. But I wake up kind of naturally, and I try and sneak down the stairs before the kids wake up. It doesn't mm-hmm. always happen. But as I say, just having that 5 minutes in the morning, I'm a real stickler for before I go to bed, I've got the kettle with water in it for the morning.
Yeah.
I've got the mug laid out with like the lemon in there. I've got everything ready to go. So I literally walk down the stairs, flick on the kettle, and then I'm literally stood in the middle of the kitchen, just either breathing for a couple of minutes, just with my eyes closed, or just doing some just gentle stretches, just kind of like trying to wake my body up naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, this analogy has always stuck to me. The first thing a dog or a cat does in the morning is stretch. They've been lying down or they've been, yeah,
yeah.
for a whole night.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
why do we get up and just program
yes.
to look at our phones or program to do something? 2 minutes. That's all it takes. Just,
that is so true, though.
Yeah, just even like stretching out the body, just
yeah,
you know, mobilizing really gently, having a drink, as I say, not checking your phone, and then the kids descend, and then it's chaos,
madness starts.
Yeah, absolute madness.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like breakfast and this and that and the other. But if I've taken that 5 minutes for myself,
mm-hmm.
I've started the day on my own time. If you're not into stretching, you're not into breathing, go downstairs, have your favorite podcast set up. It doesn't require you necessarily flicking through social media, but even listen to a podcast for a couple of minutes, read two pages of a book for a couple of minutes. Just start your day at your pace in your own way.
This is obviously a lot of the, I'll say, mindset yoga teaching, which I want to transition into. How did you get into that? Into the whole...
Not the way I'm advising to.
Okay.
So I got sucked into a social media challenge where I saw people doing like arm balances and handstands. And I was like, I can do that.
All right, okay.
That's really easy. So I joined this 10-day challenge, started trying to contort myself into these positions, realized that I couldn't, and it wasn't that easy.
Yeah.
And my ego took over and I was like, why can't I do that?
Okay.
So I went onto YouTube and just typed in like yoga because I wanted to get better at this kind of thing and started making my way into these poses and going through the flows. And to me, yoga was kind of a waste of time. I didn't stretch at the gym. I didn't do any kind of mobility because I just thought that, you know, I've got this tiny window of time to be able to work out. I haven't got time for any of that stretching. So I started following these tutorials and all of a sudden, you know, they were going on about breathing and breathe in and breathe out. And as I carried on and carried on, something kind of clicked.
Okay.
And when I was on my yoga mat doing yoga and doing this breathing and doing this movement, all of a sudden I managed to shut the world out around me.
Okay.
So kind of nothing. I wasn't a mom at that point. I wasn't a wife at that point. I didn't need to walk the dog. I didn't need to feed someone. I didn't need. And so that was almost like my escape.
Okay.
And with time, I kind of grew to take that into everyday life. So kind of that breathing and that anxiety release and that stress release and that grounding feeling all of a sudden started transitioning to with me. So instead of snapping when someone asked me for something, I was just kind of like, right, okay, breathe. It's okay. And I found gradually that, as I say, I was becoming less stressed, less anxious. I was putting that into everyday life. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I've only just discovered this after 30 something years, there must be millions of people out there that don't yet know this magic that requires nothing. It doesn't require expensive equipment. It doesn't require anything apart from this tiny space and you.
And some willpower as well.
Mm-hmm.
So were you actively into fitness when you discovered yoga?
Yeah, I was going to the gym. I was weight training, doing a lot of weight training, doing a lot of cardio. I was kind of your aesthetic obsessed 30 something woman, always trying to lose
flexing
weight. Yeah, I was trying to lose weight. I was trying to calorie count. I was trying to, you know, look like this. And
So that was the normal. I'm not even going to say that is the normal lady in the gym these days. So you were weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into weightlifting?
Because I've gone through the whole cardio thing. So I used to do 13 cardio classes a week to try.
13.
Yeah.
Like those, the ones from the, obviously the high intensity, all these kind of things.
Yep. So I do like step aerobics. I do circuits. I do like body pump. I do
so that
speed. Kind of thing.
Yes,
then I'd go and run on the treadmill after. And I thought that if my heart was going and if I was sweating, then I must be losing weight and I must
13.
Be, yeah.
13, let me repeat that again. 13 cardio steps.
But in the meantime, I was probably out drinking and partying three nights a week. So I was almost trying to balance that out.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was, I don't know how long ago, I'll show my age, but that was in the time, that was what you did. And you didn't lift weights. If you were a woman, you kind of like, you maybe got a small dumbbell, but you didn't want to lift weights because you're going to look like a man. And you're going to look like that.
Yeah.
And then I think it was probably the rise of social media and the rise of Instagram.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm seeing these aesthetics of girls who lift weights. And I'm like, wow, you look amazing. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do 13 classes a week. And you don't have to do... Yeah. What? No cardio? You just go and you lift weights. I'm down with that.
Okay. Okay. And how was that first introduction to weightlifting? Like when you first started?
Oh, it was dreadful. I got into the gym. I had no prior knowledge of how to lift a weight.
Okay.
So I just looked at what people did on social media and copied that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cue injuries.
So you kept going with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, pick up weights. And then there's CrossFit.
Yeah.
what's happening with that?
Okay, so that I've been through everything, haven't I? So that's a recent addition. So when I started doing yoga, I stopped doing the weights because I fell in love with yoga. I'm a very kind of like all or nothing person, so I dived straight into yoga. And I admit that I saw my body changing. So the weights obviously made me lean, made me toned, and then doing yoga only, I started to get a little bit softer, and that's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I wasn't happy. I needed something a little bit more.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm hypermobile, so I found that doing too much yoga, I was actually injuring myself more. I had more yoga injuries than anything else at all. Broken fingers, broken toes.
Yoga?
Yeah. Yeah. Mainly because I was probably practicing with ego, but people do these poses again that they see on social media and they think that they need to hyperextend into all these poses, and they're forcing their body into places that either it doesn't want to go, it doesn't need to go, again, just to make it look aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, hands up, guilty of that.
Right, okay.
So we will get back to the question about how I got into CrossFit.
So how you got to, it's fine, how you got to CrossFit. So you did typical, I'll say, gym bunny.
Yeah.
Load of classes,
mm-hmm.
okay, 13 classes in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see these chicks on Instagram, you're like, wow, they pick up weight. They're not doing 13 classes a week. Sign me up. So you start picking up weight, following the Instagram how-to videos, get injured, take a step back, yoga, go all in onto it. Follow your ego as well. Get hurt doing yoga. And then CrossFit.
Yeah. So it was literally, I've always looked at CrossFit and been scared. Someone told me years ago that it was a cult and that if you didn't wear the right shoes and if you didn't wear the right shorts and things like that, then you weren't allowed in. And I was like, I'm not going in there.
Wow.
And so, again, I think something inside me made me go to this free taster class. And I think someone had challenged me to do something different or something, because I was, as I say, yoga, and I did occasional HIIT and running and things like that. But this was something that really scared me. I was like, I'm not going to be a strong. I can't jump on and off of boxes, and I hate sweating and things like that. So I went to this class, and I walked in, and the night before, I'd like washed my hair and made sure that I looked right and tried to fit into this thing. Anyway, I walked into this class. No one actually cared one bit what I looked like. It was like this massive warehouse with all this equipment that looked really intimidating and scary. And I kind of walked in and went through the class and came out of the class. And I was like, oh my God, I hated that so much that I have to go back tomorrow. And you know when you hate something, but you love it at the same time?
Yeah.
I was terrible. My form was terrible with everything. The instructor probably tried 5 or 6 times to correct my form. And it wasn't happening. I wasn't injuring myself. So you just go do that in the corner.
Right.
And then I kind of signed up and just kept going back and kept going back. And it was something that just clicked. And I could see myself improving. And it was, I'm very, very competitive, be that with myself and with other people. So this was something new for me.
Yeah.
And this was something that I'm not the best at this, or I'm not as good as I could be. I have to keep going until I am.
Yeah, yeah. So CrossFit experience, again, I've done one word in my life, and it was terrible. I can just put my hand up. It was hard.
Yeah.
I don't even remember which one it was, but it was really hard. There is this, I'll say, preconception about CrossFit that is really hard. And it is hard. That's a fact. And that's coming from a powerlifter. This is hard. And the other bit is the fact that they are very technical lifts.
Yeah.
So how did you, as a yoga enthusiast, transition into, okay, those lifts are really technical. And how can I carry on doing this thing? Because I love it. Without hurting myself really bad, because I'm sure you did get some injuries.
I still get injured now, but again, it's all about ego.
Yeah.
So I knew from my days of lifting weights that I could deadlift 100 kilos and I could, you know, squat this and squat that. And going into the box and trying to do the same thing again, I got caught out on my form the second I went in. I was lifting through my back. I was hyperextending at this point. So I had to lose every single bit of ego that I had. and take everything back to basics. So I began deadlifting with a bar, and that's it, to get my form. And I literally had to lose all ego. And as I say, I don't like looking around and not being, you know, knowing that you're more capable of something.
Yeah.
So I had to lose that ego for probably 6 months, strip it back to basics, and learn everything again. I've never Olympic lifted in my life.
Exactly.
Never. And it is very technical. But because CrossFit is a small group, so maybe there's 15 to 18 people in a class, mm-hmm. with coaches with years of experience that are so patient and so knowledgeable, and so they will literally spend every single minute that you need to, and they will not let you progress
until
you're not injuring yourself. You put me, you know, running, you've got burpees, you've got things like that that are still, they're not as technical, that you're going to get your stimulus from.
Yeah.
But going back to basics on that has just been amazing.
So if you could, let's go back on your fitness journey. And again, that's for anybody who is listening or watching this. And you can see the different stages through which you've been.
Mm-hmm.
What would you change?
I'd change my injuries, obviously. I'd lose the ego. That's the only thing I'd change. I wouldn't change a thing.
Ego.
I have learned so much over the years, and that's about how my body moves. And I think doing everything wrong myself,
mm-hmm.
means that I can then empower others not to do that.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have been on the journey that I've been on,
yeah.
I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in today to be able to help others.
Okay.
I don't think anything's a mistake. I never regret anything.
Yeah.
I regret using my ego, as I say, but I would yeah. also have got into the fitness industry as a profession younger as well.
Yes. Okay. And what would you say is, I mean, as somebody who's got so much background and experience,
mm-hmm.
what would you say is kind of like your framework when it comes to fitness? Let's say a person X comes to you, never done anything fitness-wise, I'd be like, Zoe, I'm here and I feel really bad about myself. Because that's kind of the average person
mm-hmm.
out there. I want to, let's say, feel fit again, feel fit, lose a few pounds. What would you say is like kind of the framework this person should follow?
Starting off, everything starts with mindset and everything.
Yes.
So, and it's also, it's finding your why as well.
Yes.
So I truly believe that everyone has a why.
Mm-hmm.
And your why might be to be able to get out of bed pain-free.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so you have problems with this at the moment. I'm not going to put you in a gym and get you lifting heavy weights. I'm mm-hmm. going to get you being a bit more mobile. So we might spend an hour a week just working on some real fundamental moves in terms of mobility. We might free up the hips
yeah.
and the shoulders.
Yeah.
And then this person's why here might be to build muscle. Okay, so again, we'll take it back to the mindset, find out the why, what's driving you, what do you want to achieve? So it's all about setting goals and kind of like finding
like, what's it, the purpose behind
it? Yeah, yeah. Everything's a journey. Nothing's a tomorrow, and it's a journey that evolves. So this person that might want to get out of bed in the morning might then find, okay, I want to run a triathlon now. No, you don't run a triathlon. Do a triathlon.
Yeah.
I'm not a triathlete. So your goal and your purpose, as I say, is ever evolving. And that's why, again, I love helping people, especially yeah. in yoga. I've had people come to my classes that all I want to do is be able to touch my toes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 6 months, we're touching your toes. And then in 6 months, we're doing this, and then we're doing that, and then we're doing that. And it's just these aha moments
yeah.
when people see their capabilities and they see what they can actually achieve. And it all starts in the mind.
It's all in the head. On the back end of this, what would you say are common misconceptions, especially when approaching a fitness journey? Like, what are the biggest mistakes you see? We were talking about it off air earlier.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say is the biggest thing holding people back from achieving goals?
People, excuses. I know you don't know everyone's situation, so you kind of have to take that with a bit of a pinch of
yes.
salt. Everyone's situation is different. But there are so many people that don't have enough time
mm-hmm.
or they can't do it because they can't afford it. That's a massive one. Fitness should be accessible to everyone regardless of
yeah.
cost. Massive believer in that. If you've got a park, if you've got a body, if you've got anything, you can do it.
Yeah.
But mainly it's time. So every single person has the same 24 hours in the day.
Yes.
it's how they choose to spend it. I'm a massive believer in getting enough sleep, so never ever compromise that.
How much time? Because there's all this big thing, and I'm pretty big on sleeping as well. How much time would you say is enough sleep?
I would love 8 hours, but I don't get that.
Yes.
But like the 7 to 8 hour window.
I'm a fan of like, if you feel good, carry on.
Yeah. yes and no. I don't ever believe sleep should be compromised.
No, never.
No. You don't have to work till 1 a.m. every morning. You don't.
Yeah.
You will be more productive if you go to bed at like 10 o'clock and get up at 6
yeah.
and get that rest and get that sleep yeah. than you will burn in the midnight oil till 1 and then waking up and surviving on caffeine because yeah. that's just not yeah. going to work.
Because the whole thing with sleeping, like sometimes, I mean, we see online, it could be 6 hours, then mm-hmm. 7 hours, then 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my client as well is, if you sleep for 6 hours and then you feel good in the morning and then you can withstand the whole day, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some people need 8 hours. I've got clients that sleep 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, works for you.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine. Go for it. I'm the guy who is going to do, I think, 6.5, 7 hours. Mm-hmm. Literally, my body just wakes mm-hmm. up. I cannot mm-hmm. go back to sleep, which is very interesting. And how it affects the following day.
Yeah.
Is even a bigger thing. So we're talking about like the misconception of
yeah,
people.
Sorry, I went off on a complete tangent there. Yeah, it's mainly time. That is what the biggest thing is.
Mm.
And like I touched on really quickly earlier, you don't have to do 30 minutes of exercise every day is more than adequate.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to do it every day. You need to have your rest days, obviously.
Yeah.
But breaking it down into 10 minutes before work, 15 minute walk at lunchtime, 10 minutes something in the afternoon, that's lots of minutes.
That's lots of minutes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of maths as well, like literally sitting down and auditing your time.
Yeah.
And you'll be shocked. I mean, we've got these devices, smartphones. Most people actually do have that, and you get a weekly report of how much time you spend on the screen.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think mine is about 5 hours
mm-hmm.
a day. I'm not, 5 hours on that. But you start thinking, like, is that productive?
Yeah.
Is that helping me? Yeah. Is that in line with my goals? And I always ask most of my clients, even people who don't have time, like, sit down and audit your time. Mm. It's like a bank statement, pretty much. You know, mm-hmm. got 168 hours in a week. Sit down and just...
There's this... Yeah. Time is the only thing we can't get back.
Yeah.
We cannot get that back. You lose your money, you can get that back. You lose this, you can get that back. We cannot get time back.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, so, so precious. And Instagram, social media, and it's all can just become this vortex.
Yeah.
I've been there before,
yeah.
and I've been there, and I've looked up, and 30 minutes has passed. I've done absolutely nothing but fallen into a comparison trap.
Yes.
That's not healthy.
How would you say, like, the whole comparison stuff is, I think it's something which is natural to the human nature.
Oh, definitely.
Like, because even wherever we are, where we coach and in gym settings, is always looking at the person next to you,
mm-hmm.
especially in group setting environment. You're mm-hmm. doing CrossFit as well. Like, how do you avoid the trap of comparing yourself to the point where it becomes detrimental?
Well, I think a little bit can become not good necessarily, but especially if you're in a group fitness situation.
Yeah.
Then it can be spurring you on
yeah.
a little bit. That's obviously if you're doing one more rep than me, oh, I'm going to be good, yeah, you know, yeah. as long as you're not injuring yourself. But it's when it becomes into the body comparison trap.
Especially with the ladies.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen that so many times. The way they look at you, like, oh, she
yeah.
there.
And you're like, well, why can she do that? Or why does she look like that and
yeah.
I don't? And
yeah.
do I have a magic answer? No, mm-hmm. I don't think I do. Yeah, you have to understand that kind of you're completely different to every other person. Yeah. No one's situation is the same. Mm-hmm. Again, you might have had 4 hours sleep last night.
Mm-hmm.
You might get 4 hours sleep every day, which means every day you wake up, you're tired, you reach for the comfort food, you reach for the coffee, you yes. get your energy spikes. Everything is directly related. Whereas that girl over there is getting 8 hours sleep a night. She's waking up, she's fresh, she's rested. Every single situation is so different
yeah.
that if you go into that slippery spiral, it's game over.
Good.
Another thing that we are more than in control of is who we follow on social media.
Yes.
What we choose to consume. Yeah. If your feed is full of, you know, fitness models and people who have
fig bomb
entities. Nutritionalists, chefs, you know, nannies.
Yeah.
I'm really shouting now.
Yeah,
really
go for it. Yeah.
But if your feed is full of people like that and you're aspiring to be like that and you've got, you know, a limited budget, a limited amount of time, you work, you know, 40 hours a week, and you're saying, well, why is she like this and I'm like that?
Yeah.
There's your answer. We choose really good, who we surround ourselves with.
I found myself quite a few times, you know, going through my feed, and I was like, why am I following this person?
How motivated is that?
How much value are you adding to my life? And I'm literally just losing it. Mm-hmm. I'm just get rid of the person. Mm-hmm. So time is one of the things. The mental state when getting into a journey is extremely important. Comparison is going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
It's just like not letting that obviously take over. Yeah. And when you look at the average person, I know now you're training in a CrossFit gym and it's probably like you're away from the commercial setting. I am in the commercial setting, so I see a lot of the general populace, I would have to say. And when people come in, especially the ladies, that's why I've got you on the podcast, that's so interesting. I've got all those misconceptions I want to touch on now about building muscles, about lifting weights, about this whole image about strength training, performance-oriented training, especially for females. Now, you being an athlete, because you do compete, we're going to talk about that as well in a bit. You being an athlete and a mom of four as well, you've got literally all the excuses to be out of shape. And being really like, okay, you know what, it was just life. How do you address that? I'm sure people did ask you, like, why are you lifting weight? You're going to look manly. How do you address that? And what recommendation are you for the ladies out there?
I don't care what people think. but it's taken me a hell of a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Society still has us believing that we should have abs, have a big bum, we should have, you know, thin legs, we should have this, we should have that, we should have the other. Why the hell should we have that? Mm-hmm. Why? I don't get why.
Men.
The what?
Could be men.
It could
That's
be.
That's what men want.
But I've been there, as I say, I've gone through that whole thing trying to shrink myself.
Yeah.
But I've also been, okay, I want to lose a stone.
Yeah.
I lose that stone. I'm no different. I don't feel any different.
Yeah.
Now I want to lose another stone. And then I want to do this. And when you get there, you have this goal that you chase constantly. You make yourself miserable doing it. You don't eat. You don't sleep. You exercise. You obsess. And then you get there. And you're still the same person inside.
Mm-hmm.
You are no different inside. What have you achieved?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. You're miserable. You know, you're unhealthy. And it's absolutely done nothing. So finding CrossFit, for the first time in my whole life, I'm not training for an aesthetic goal.
Yes.
Aesthetics don't matter at all to me. Sure, I want to look
you're
good and feel good.
You're building some muscles in the process.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that I want to look good and feel good, of course.
Yeah.
But I know that I have to fuel myself, especially because I teach yoga, I go to CrossFit, I teach here, I have four kids, I have a very, very, very active lifestyle.
Number four? Yeah.
I have a very active lifestyle.
Yeah.
I know the second I don't look after myself, I don't eat, drink, and sleep properly, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I fuel myself to be able to do that. That wasn't the question, and I've gone off on a tangent again.
It's fine, I like that. It's like strength training, misconception, like you're going to look like a man. How do you deal with it? That's yours.
Well, you're not going to look like a man. We don't have the right hormones to look like a man. If you want to look like a man, you're going to have to take all kind of supplements. Yes, it's inevitable. If you start weight training, heavy weight training, you're going to build muscle.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine. I get told now that maybe I look too masculine, or maybe, you know, you're getting too big. That's fine. I really don't care. But you are not going to get big. I see people now in the gym and they're scared to add resistance, to add any kind of weight, because they have this misconception.
Yes.
And they're still in the mindset that the more I sweat, the more calories I burn off, I'll just pick up really light weights and I'll just move them because I'm going to lose weight that way.
Yeah.
What they don't know is that by adding a little bit more resistance, you're going to get more toned. That's what everyone wants to get. There's this whole toned.
Yeah. Toned, yes.
So we're going to get nice slender arms, and I'm going to get nice slender legs, and I'm going to get abs. Some people actually aren't built that way.
Yeah.
I have never, ever, ever seen abs on my body. I guess they're there. I have never seen them.
How many years have you been training now?
Maybe 20?
20 years of training, not a single pack.
Never, ever, ever, but that's fine.
And you're
I'm not a bad person.
You're both ladies, yeah. I mean, you're just doing CrossFit, that's hard.
I just don't have them, but that's fine. But tomorrow, if I got abs, I'm still the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
I still go home at night to the same place. I still get up the next morning just because I have...
So would you say that the whole, you know, training for aesthetic purpose, fitness, using fitness for the purpose of looking good, is crooked from the beginning? Like,
definitely.
If you want to just do that, because I'm the same as well. I started, I was skinny, dude. Everybody knows that. And I want you to just get some muscles, you know. And I got some muscles, I got the girls, all these kind of things, and I was like, is that it?
What next?
You know, and then now I just keep going for performance. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep pushing myself, pushing. If I could do it again, I would just reverse that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just start with performance straight away, because you learn so much compared to just like taking a selfie in front of a mirror, which is pretty interesting. With the female audience, I mean, I get that a lot with the ladies when I come in for a consultation. I want to tone up. I don't want to put too much muscles. I don't want to do the heavy stuff. This is gonna be hard. I think it's just down to the pain threshold they're just scared of. And I'm always saying, like, you ladies give birth, man. This thing is hard. Not just picking up weight, which is gonna be a bit of a challenge, or just go through it, you know. You competing in CrossFit, I want you to ask that as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Oh my God, it's like nothing I've ever done before. It was a real mental challenge.
Okay.
And I think that's the reason mainly why I did it. It was such... I am a serial non-follow-thrower, shall we say. I know that's not even a word. But
yeah,
I never believe in myself.
Mm.
So years ago, as a teenager, I was a competitive swimmer. And I never believed in myself enough to take it to that next level. I had my coach behind me. I had my parents behind me. I had everyone behind me saying, you've got this. You know, you can do this. And I was like, yeah, I can't. So I don't take the easy way out. But when the going gets tough, I tend to kind of like...
Yeah, kind of like...
Yeah, go into the background. Just because it's genuinely a self-confidence issue. I don't believe that I can do it. I've never had that mental ability to believe it. And so... This was a competition that was very local, that it was a ballot situation where you kind of put your name in and you got drawn. And I was like, I'm not going to get drawn. And then I got drawn and I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to do this. So I entered and I started training. And still, it was kind of a bit of, not a game by any stretch, but did I think I'd get there? I kind of had a few reservations, but we got to the competition floor on the day and I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to do this.
At first, like, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. And I don't like people looking at me. And I don't like being the center of attention. And I mean, I've clearly picked the wrong profession to do that.
yeah.
But anyway, everything kind of went out the window on the day. And the adrenaline kicked in. And I just did it. And I don't know how I did it, because I did PBs left, right, and center. And I still don't know how I did it. But I did it, and that was the best feeling in the world. And since then, I've got a few more this year now.
Yeah.
But it was just such a, as I say, mental challenge. The physical challenge is what will be. Look, you're going to get through it.
Yeah.
But the mental challenge was just...
That's what I've learned as well from competing in both bodybuilding, powerlifting and everything, is once you sign up, you're like, oh,
really,
it's happening.
Yeah.
This is real, you know? And then you get to the competition day and you're mentally ready, and then you're just like, I genuinely don't compete against other people, I compete against myself.
Yeah.
I just, I'm like, I just crushed my gym PB.
Yeah.
You know, I just like did that. And such an amazing feeling, knowing that you could set your sight onto something and genuinely go at it and then achieve it and then be like, yeah, I've done it.
But that's another thing I love about CrossFit.
Yeah.
You walk onto that competition floor.
Yeah.
That girl's tiny. That girl's a bit bigger. That girl's tall. That girl's small.
Yeah.
And these girls are amazing.
Yeah.
They're all amazing. She doesn't have abs, but she's just whooped my ass on this. Does that matter in the grand scheme of things? No.
No. Absolutely not. And that's the thing, like, you look at people, that's why I like performance sport, because you look at people, then you can't really judge them, because we kind of compete in categories.
Yeah, yeah.
There's height, there's weight, there's sex, there's all these kind of things. So it's always a relative comparison kind of thing. And everybody going there trying to get better for themselves.
Of course.
They don't really care about, like, the guy next dude. When we actually in a training environment, I did train here at F45 a few times, which is when you have somebody next to you, it's a natural thing, like, you know what, that extra rep.
Yeah, we'll go a little bit.
Go a little bit. It's just like training with a partner as well.
But that's absolutely fine.
It's normal.
And that's what group training is all about, to kind of push yourself on. But at no point are you lifting, you know, 100 kilos and trying to do it more because someone else is. Because that's just stupid.
No. I've seen it a lot in the commercial setting, which is like, it's so funny because you'll see a dude or lady, whoever it is, like doing an exercise, and as soon as they finish, just scoop the room to see who was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this is so funny, man. Like, so weird. No. We're getting to the end of this. That was fun.
It was
this me 40 minutes.
Really?
Wow. I think we're going
to
do like,
I can talk forever.
It's going to be like a series.
I probably haven't answered any of the questions.
It's going to be like Zoe's series. That was awesome. I think at the end of this podcast, what I like to do is really asking the guests. So I literally think I invited you here because I see you as an authority in what you're doing. I believe in your framework, in the way you're approaching things. And what I like to do at the end of this is like, give us 3 tips to a better life. Either it's true fitness, whatever it is. What are your big 3? I would say for fitness success.
Number one is definitely mindset. I know I've touched on it and I've spoken about it every single answer, but get your mindset right. And that could be establishing that routine in the morning. It's just start the day being proactive instead of reactive. There we go. We condensed that. We got that.
Yeah.
Tip number one. So don't look at your phone straight away.
Yeah.
Take a few minutes for yourself, even if that's getting up 5 minutes earlier. And that's not just for fitness. That's for everyday life. But that will help in everything, I promise you, since I started doing that. Number 2, mobility and flexibility.
It's
so important. And I don't mean taking yoga classes, and I don't mean chanting and omming and the misconceptions that follow in yoga. Just taking a few minutes every day. If you've got 30 minutes, amazing. If you've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just taking a few minutes every day to get mobile, to get flexible. There's so much free stuff out there on YouTube. Yeah. I have some yoga flows on my YouTube as well that you can do. Anyone can do it.
I'm going to link that up anyway, all your links and everything,
I'm really quickly touching on that. You don't have to be flexible to do flexibility and mobility. Every single person in the world can benefit from it. And that's just from the person that doesn't exercise, from the person that just wants to walk down the street.
Yeah. What would you say? Because I want you to touch on that before you touch, you're going to your third point, so.
I haven't thought about
that. Don't forget that. Think of the third one. How important is mobility and stretching? Like, how important it is for fitness and for exercising? Personally, I'm really big on it. I know you are as well, but how important it is, like, in your own experience?
It's so, 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 so important. As I said before, when I used to lift weights before, I didn't stretch because I just thought it was a waste of time.
Okay.
And obviously, coming into yoga, I stretch loads now. But it's so important for recovery.
Yeah.
It actually does help these people that do want to tone and lengthen. It really helps doing that. It really helps. I've completely lost my train of thought now.
Yeah, take your time. So, I mean, it's normal for mobility to help, like, with your with toning up, being able to move right as well.
Yeah.
How does it help with performance in terms of, like, let's say your PBs and your training, whatever you're doing right now?
It helps with every single thing. You see people that have got, like, tight hamstrings, tight shoulders, tight hips. You're never going to quite be able to do that movement to its full potential, to your full potential, to its full capacity. If you're mobile, if you spent 10 minutes before that workout maybe opening your hips, opening your shoulders, just stretching, your body is primed and ready to go. As I say, it doesn't take hours. That 10 minutes that you do in the morning on your phone, when you get sucked into that vortex, spend 10 minutes stretching, even kind of lying on your back, bringing your knees into the chest, taking yourself into a ball, rocking from side to side.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
I learned about mobility through, I mean, after an injury, lumbar spine. Somewhere there. And that was it for me. Like, from that moment, I learned that not only it's important, okay, it's proactive, mm-hmm. not reactive. Mm-hmm. And the performance, like, goes to the roof with that. Now, follow-up question. I mean, we can't go forever, but we need to wrap it up at some point. How much is too much mobility? Is there such thing as too much mobility?
Yes, because as I said before, I have hyperextension in my knees, in my elbows, in my shoulders. And I was finding that I was my body was going places that it naturally shouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. So this shoulder injury that I've got now is from overuse of being overly mobile.
Yeah.
That's why strength and mobility training are the absolute perfect combination. So adding just a little bit of resistance.
Yeah.
Just the absolute perfect combination. Mobility and flexibility keeps you oiled.
yeah, kind of like you need to keep those...
Resistance keeps you strong.
Yeah. So I think I got to the last 3 points. Mindset. Be proactive. Mm-hmm. Be mobile.
There you go.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's it. Good, sick. So it's been a pleasure. It's been really good. It's good to have like somebody here who's got... really strong view, a lot of experience under the belt as well. And it's always fun, you know, to interact with a fellow professional. You know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good at it. I'm going to link everything about Zoe. So you can actually find her on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube.
Yeah.
She also got a blog.
Yeah.
I mean, she got loads of good stuff. Check the link I'm going to put up with this podcast. If you need anything from her, feel free to reach out. I'm sure she's got lots of good stuff there. She's got some videos on YouTube for you guys who are really stiff, who need to be a bit mobile, with some yoga flow. Check it out as well. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy this. There will be many more coming up for this season of the show. Zoe, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode, your daily dose of motivation, strategies, and hacks to a better and upgraded life.